Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 6 through 11 this afternoon. We'll be focusing our attention upon verse 11. But in verse 6 we read, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes, at one time in your life, darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." A command. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Our verse today tells us that we are not to have any part with the unfruitful works of darkness and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Improving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And we are not to have. And. You see, that word, that it's a little word. But it joins it to what has previously been said. And we're not to have fellowship. This word fellowship here in the Greek means co-participate. We are not to be a co-participant in. We're not to participate in any way, shape, or form in the unfruitful works of darkness. Consider the works of darkness and consider that they're unfruitful. They're fruitless. Well, they bear fruit, but not unto God. Not pleasing to, well, pleasing unto God. They bear a fruit, but it's not a fruit of righteousness. It's not a fruit that is pleasing to God. So, in God's eyes, and are to be in our eyes, they're unfruitful works of darkness. Consider this. Plants. Plants cannot produce fruit in the absence of light. They die. They're dead. They're fruitless in the absence of light, in the dark. They might survive for a time without light, but not for long. They are eventually dead, and they won't bear fruit in that shape. Well, neither can the works of darkness produce fruit unto God. Turn with me back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. And look with me here at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They appear to be sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That is the false prophets. Ye shall know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Do they? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Fruit that is well pleasing unto God. Last week's message. But a corrupt tree, not just talking about false prophets now, but talking about anyone who is a corrupt tree, bringeth forth evil fruit. You see, he brings forth fruit, but not unto God, not the fruit that is well pleasing to God. Not a fruit that is acceptable to God. It's evil. It's wicked. God won't have any part to do with it. Well, let me ask you, then why should we? Then why should we? If God won't, and we're God's children, then why should we? That's the argument, or the case that is being made in Ephesians chapter 5. If God won't have anything to do with it, it's not pleasing to Him, then why should we have anything to do with it? You go back to the previous studies in that fifth chapter, and you have to conclude, yes, that's what's being said in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read on here. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's what God's going to do with a corrupt tree. Because they don't bear good fruit. They don't bear fruit that is pleasing to Him. They bear evil fruit. And He's going to hew them down and cast them into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Child of God, you're to be known by your fruits. Does it make any sense then that we should bear forth works of darkness, which are fruitless to God, not pleasing to Him? They're evil, they're corrupt, which He's going to hew those trees down and cast them into the fire. And so should we make men think that we are like one of them? No. We're not to have any part with the unfruitful works of darkness. Look with me at the book of John now. A point that Jesus is emphasizing to the apostles, to His church, in John chapter 15. In verse 19, where He says, well, let's read verse 18 with it. If the world hate you, Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. It hated Jesus Christ. That was our message this morning, in essence, was it not? It hated Jesus Christ. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Not in this Bible that I'm using now, today, but in a couple previous Bibles that I used, I've written out by the side here in that verse, on that verse, does the world hate me? And each one of us could ask ourselves that. Each one of us could write that in the margin on your Bible. To remind yourself, does the world hate me? If the world doesn't hate me, if the world doesn't despise me, then what am I not doing that's right? I must not be doing something that is well pleasing to God. For if it was well pleasing to God, it wouldn't be pleasing to the world. And the world would hate me. You see, that which is well pleasing to the Father, the world hates. They hated Christ. And he was well pleasing to the Father. He did always those things that pleased the Father. How about you and I? How are we doing on that note? Turn with me to the 17th chapter. Blessed passage of Scripture, especially to the Lord's people, to those that are saved. And notice what he says in his prayer to his Heavenly Father concerning us, concerning his people. In verse 16, he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Listen, you and I need to get it into our minds as children of God and have it ever before us in the life that we live. That we're not of this world. Oh, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and he is coming back. And we talk about, if I'm still alive at his coming, he's going to catch me up in the air with him. And if they lay the body in the grave before his coming, that body's going to be caught up and reunited with my soul and spirit with him. It's going to be changed. It's not going to be that corruptible body anymore. But it's going to be an incorruptible body, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. We love to talk about that. But when it comes to living it, we live our life so much as though we're part of this world. Not to be like this world. The works of this world are unfruitful works of darkness, but not light. Then why should we be partakers of the dark? I'm getting fussy. I don't like it. I have never cared much for a dark room. But now, with diminished eyesight at my age and everything, I want the light on. I want to see.
I'm finding out now that I don't want too much light, though, because that clouds my vision. I'm a mess.
That part of it, my Maker's in control of. And He'll keep me seeing. And as long as He wants me to see. And I know one thing, like Fanny Crosby, she was blind, you know, that blind hymn writer. One day she's going to see the Lord face to, well, she's seen Him face to face. And I might leave this life blind to the people and things about me. But I have the assurance one day I'm going to see Him face to face. And I'm going to be like Him. For I shall see Him as He is.
What's that say? What's that say to us? And that's true of every one of us that are children of God. What's that say to us? Not to be participating in the unfruitful works of darkness.
This is not our home. This is not our home. I wish that I'd have lived my earlier lives like I see the truth now. I wish I'd have lived the early years of my salvation and all up through till in the seriousness of the issue, in the seriousness of the matter. You heard me use the terminology many times before. Most of us today play at being children of God. We play at church and being children of God. That is, we don't take serious. It's just something that makes us feel good and about ourselves and well, I've done my responsibility. Now I can go out and live like the world the rest of the week. Shame on us. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And you know the setting here. The Holy Spirit had descended on the church on the day of Pentecost and filled them with His Spirit, filled them with His power. And Peter was preaching to men from all over the world. His kinsmen, according to the flesh, his Israelites, Jews. But they had been scattered abroad. They'd been scattered abroad back in the Old Testament. They hadn't been brought yet back into the land of Israel, but they were there. And they heard Peter preach, and so because they were born in other countries and still Jews, still Israelites, but born in other countries, they grew up with a different tongue, different language. And every man heard in his own language. One man, Peter, standing here preaching in the Hebrew tongue. And they all heard in their own language, Parthians and Greek and everything else that's mentioned there. And so he's preaching. And they had asked Peter and the others, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter responded, "Repent. Repent, and when your sins are remitted, be baptized Look what he says in verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this backward, this wicked, this evil people. He was pleading with them to repent of their sins and believe the gospel concerning Christ that he just preached to them. The point is, that last couple of words, this untoward generation. Listen, this world and the people in it are wicked and evil. And many times we just go along with them and doing the same things that they do. It's already been established. There ought to be a difference in us. Previous messages, we're children of light. Walk as children of light. Not participating with them, not be having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're to be bearing fruit unto God, fruit that is well-pleasing unto God. Last week's message. Well, why don't we then? Well, we're like the apostles this morning, aren't we?
Well, because of our prejudices and our unbelief, we don't do it.
We in our walk are not to participate in the works of darkness. Amen. They are unfruitful. And we're to bear fruit. We're to bear what fruit? Well, just what he had told us before in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit. We're to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, he leadeth me.
Are we following? Everyone that's a child of God, born again of God, has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Has God indwelling? What's the Spirit doing in him? Leading him and guiding him? Are we following? He's not leading and guiding us to be participants in dark works, in works of darkness.
He's leading and directing us to be bearers of the light, to be shining forth the light, which is goodness, which is righteousness, which is truth. And you could turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and catch all the rest of them. You see, actually, we could sum it up in one word: love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, we're not saved by works, but faith which worketh by love. We manifest that we are children of faith by the love that we show to others. Many times we're, on that regard, we're just as wicked and cruel. Sometimes more so than the children of the world. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, where we read, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?
He's talking about before you were saved, when you were a child of Satan, when you were a worker of evil, when you were following the desires and passions of the flesh. You were a worker of iniquity. He said, "What fruit had ye then in those things?" Well, you didn't have any. In context of the sixth chapter of Romans, what he's talking about, which is fruit unto God, you didn't have any. Notice what he says. For the end of those things is death. What do those things work? Death. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's the result of those things. Why would we want to be participants in it? Why would I want to be a participant in those things which work death? Turn with me, book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Verse you know well. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, destruction. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ought to be living as Christ lived. Not of this world, but as of heaven. We're a citizen of heaven. We ought to be living as though we're citizens of heaven. Now notice, look at our text verse closely. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What part of speech? What do we call that speech in the English? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And have no. What do we call it? Is it an option? No, it's not an option. You don't have a choice. Just like he said, and walk as children of light. That was a command, not an option. And now he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's a command. Furthermore, it's a command with force. Have no. I'm amused. My mind gets puzzled sometimes. The Greek word there is the same Greek word that is used 15 other times. 15 other times, and is translated 15 other times. God forbid. How forceful was that?
One of them, we just left the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, is right here in Romans 6. We read, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Have no.
Well, that doesn't sound very good over there, does it? Have no, so God forbid.
Well, just as well here. And God forbid that we should fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You see how forceful it is? It needs to be forceful. You and I need to grab it by force. Turn with me. To show you the mind of God. Turn with me back to the book of Numbers. Numbers in chapter 33. And I remind you, as before we read this, what character, what attribute of God are we thinking about as we go back here to the Old Testament? Well, think about his immutability. God is immutable. For those of you that don't know what that word means, it means God is unchanging. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He does not change. So I remind you of that as we turn to the 33rd chapter of the book of Numbers. And look with me here at verse 51. Verse 51. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. That word quite pluck down is simply exterminate. Do away with. All their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it, and ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among you, your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. Shall be thorns in your eyes. I don't want a thorn in my eye, do you? Well, he said there'll be thorns in your eyes. There'll be pricks in your eyes. And thorns, a bigger thorn, in your side. And shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. In other words, if you don't utterly destroy them, utterly drive them out, and you cohabit with them, and their ways become your ways, then I'm going to do to you as I thought to do to them. Now, he's not promoting you and I today to go out here and to destroy all the wicked people that we come across with and utterly annihilate them and all their things. But he's telling Israel and he's telling us not to cohabit with them, not to co-participate in their evil and dark deeds. I ask you, do we have the same God today that Israel had? You see, he was setting with Israel, he was setting a difference between the clean and the unclean. And the clean is not to mix
with the unclean. But yet we think, well, today it's okay. Don't we?
It's not. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22. In verse 10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Just to set you straight, one was a clean animal and one was an unclean.
And an ox and an ass don't work together. There again, you see the difference? Setting the difference between the clean and the unclean. You're not to cohabitate. You're not to co-participate. You're not to be together, equally yoked together
in those things. We'll read that now. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. So we bring it over to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is in the New Testament. It's the same thing he was telling Israel back in the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? The same principle that is being taught to us in Ephesians chapter 5.
Same principle that was tried to be taught to Israel back in Numbers and in Deuteronomy.
You see, we're not to be co-participants. We're not to join together in contracts with them. We're not to join together in marriages with them.
We're not to have a part. One is light, one's darkness.
But rather, he tells us what we ought to rather do. Rather than be a participant in the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. Rather than participating in works of darkness, we are to reprove them. That is, we are to admonish, rebuke the unfruitful works of darkness. But it is more than just admonishing them. It is to convince by evidence.
Let's go back a few messages on light. You and I, God commanded the light to shine, and it shone in the face of Jesus Christ, and we are now illuminated with the light of Christ. And that light is to be shining forth. And what does light do? Well, light is an illuminary. Light is a revealer. Light exposes their evil works, their dark works.
That's what we're to do.
We're to do that by our life. We're to be living as light, as Christ was light. We've gotten, I think, just a wonderful image of Christ going through the book of Matthew. And how we're to live. And how we're to be.
And our life is to be lived in such a manner. You see, don't just reprove them with words. But they're reproved, they're admonished by our life. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about the Lord saves you, and if you had, at the time of your salvation, if you had any wicked friends from your past life, and might have been close friends, if you're living the life that you ought to have been, it's not long, they're going to separate themselves from you. They won't want anything to do with you. Why? Because by the light that you're shining forth, you're reproving their evil deeds. You're convicting them. Convincing them of them. You're convincing them by evidence that their deeds are dark and evil. The Spirit reproves men of sin. Isn't that what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 8, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, convicting them of righteousness and judgment? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit working in us, leading us to be the light that we ought to be, is reproving evil men of their evil deeds, their unfruitful works of darkness. It produces in them conviction. It produces a consciousness of guilt. You see, it's not a true conviction, but it just makes them guilty. They feel uncomfortable around you. They feel guilty around you. Because what they like to do and what they want to do and what they desire to do is totally opposite of what you're shining forth. You see, we are to do that by our words, by our deeds. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3. Of course, the great exposition by Jesus to giving to Nicodemus on being born again. And the fact that God sent his Son, that all who would believe might have everlasting life. He says in verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light." Why? Because his deeds should be reproved. In other words, he's not going to come to you and I. He's not going to hang around you and I. Because if we're being what we ought to be, we reprove his evil deeds. And he doesn't want to be reproved of them. He doesn't want to be convinced of them. He doesn't want to be convicted of them. He loves them. And be honest, before you were saved, before I was saved, we loved him too. We loved him too. Now we're to hate him. Amen. We're to hate him. John chapter 8 and verse 9. "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." You know this occasion. You know it well. These holier-than-thou people found a woman taken in adultery, and they're bringing her to Christ, and they're going to get one on Christ.
because he was a friend of sinners and publicans. They're going to get one on Christ. And he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they all left. One by one.
Knew they were guilty. They're just as guilty as that woman taken in adultery. 1 Timothy. Book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 5. And verse 20. Just so you know, verse 19. Against an elder, a pastor, a bishop, an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. In other words, you better have two or three witnesses that witnessed it. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. In other words, a pastor, a bishop, an elder has been witnessed to have been caught in some tragic, horrible sin, and not repented of it. He is to be rebuked before all. Why? So that others might see it in fear. Lest the same judgment come upon them. This, in proper context, is speaking about pastors. But it's applicable to every church member. It's applicable to every child of God. You see. In other words, what's it talking about? It's talking about light exposing the evil deeds, the unfruitful works of darkness. And there is to be exposed that others saved folks and other pastors might fear. It might cause them to be careful not to be caught in sin.
Not to be sneaky away, but not to fall into sin.
Turn with me to the 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And so he told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See, the preaching of the word, the preaching of the light is to expose the evil, wicked, unfruitful works of darkness, even in the lives of church members, Christians. Titus chapter 2 in closing. Titus 2 and verse 15 said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. That is, in your rebuking, in your exposing these things, let no man despise. No man is to despise the man of God for preaching the word of God, preaching the truth of God's word. Furthermore, he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should live as children of light, bearing fruit that is well-pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and not the unfruitful works of darkness. All right, we'll quit there.